listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Thank you for listening all across the USA, all across the world. Our topic today is going to be truth and the manipulation against truth, the suppression of truth, and what happens when an individual or a nation locks out the truth. There are consequences. It's not just merely a matter of, you know, what's right, what's wrong, absolute right, absolute wrong. The Bible teaches that, and that's true. But the Bible, if you read the entire thing, plus just observing life as an individual, you notice that when you choose to suppress or shut down or reject or deny truth, it's not like God is sitting on his throne hurling lightning bolts of judgment down against us. That's not what this is about. This is about the fact that the universe, that the planet, that all of creation operates according to the will of God. Well, what does that mean? What that means is that the universe, planet Earth, all of creation, is a very highly organized system that has a designer and an inventor and a creator. And this highly organized system is operating continually, 24/7. It's operating continually within highly precise mathematical parameters and formulas. It's operating with total precision in terms of physics, the laws of biology, the laws of gravity, the laws of microbiology, and on and on and on. Just throw out in your mind for a moment, you know, choose 20 so-called recognized fields of study, like it could be physics, law, government, medicine, the immune system. That's just a handful. But God is, to be blunt, God's brain is so big. God's mind is so infinite that he is able of managing and directing and replenishing this highly complex system that has to operate with the utmost precision according to the laws of physics, the laws of electromagnetic frequency, the laws of biology, genetics, DNA, and you could go endlessly down the list. Which brings me to a brief side issue. You really got to be missing major components in your brain if you can't figure out by now that the complexity, the precision of creation is shouting as a testimony of scientific evidence that the world, that creation, that the universe was created by an intelligent God, and it didn't just happen through random chance. I mean, really, give me a break. That's a no-brainer. Yet we have an entire scientific establishment dedicated. Yeah, they're very dedicated to this. They're dedicated to the suppression of truth. They're dedicated to the suppression of the facts regarding the origins of mankind and nature and the planet, etc. So yeah, you could say there's a conspiracy. And yeah, if you want to, you could point the finger at me and say, hey, I'm a conspiracy theorist when it comes to creation. You know what? I really don't give a hoot what you think of me. I lose no sleep about it, and I could care less. Because the way I look at you, and I don't mean to put you down, and I'm not talking about the listeners of the Paul McGuire Report. I'm talking about people who are just sampling the program. I don't want to drive you away. I'd like you to listen. I believe if you would open your mind, even a minimal percentage, that if you allowed, it's because it's a matter of your will, basically, if you allowed the seeds of truth to be dispersed in your consciousness, you would find, if you're honest, if you choose to let go of this ironclad grip you have, where you're a super control freak and you've got to dominate and control all information and data and content to fit your pre-existing agenda, like evolution, or like this. And another thing that's just equally ridiculous, but even more tragic, the very idea of calling an unborn baby, either after conception immediately, or 5 months down the road, 6 months down the road, or however long, the very notion of calling that living, viable human being a fetus, which is essentially a synonym or a term to label something as nothing, as like a blob. You're taking a creation of God, a child, a boy or a girl, and you're essentially calling it a meaningless blob that has no purpose. And then you defend that with absurd, irrational, non-scientific falsehoods. Because any rational person who was functioning rationally, there's an assumption here that you have to be functioning rationally. The majority of people in our nation today, according to secular psychological and scientific studies, the majority of people in our population and across the world, according to secular scientists, secular psychologists, are no longer functioning as rational human beings. So in the old days, we could assume that I was talking to many people out there who were like rational. I can't make that assumption anymore. I'm not trying to make, this is not like about a put down of you. It's just a scientific observation. Because according to this psychologist who wrote and published this paper called Mass Formation, he talked about how certain dynamics that pre-exist, for example, in the American population. And what he was talking about was the epidemic of societal fragmentation. He was talking about the epidemic of societal isolation and the epidemic of entirely new psychological terms designed to describe never-before-seen psychological maladies or illnesses. What am I talking about? Well, he was mentioning things like there's an epidemic of people who have free-floating anxiety, an epidemic of people who have free-floating depression, an epidemic of people who have free-floating rage. What was he talking about? He's saying that countless millions of people now are suffering from rage and anger, depression, anxiety, but they can't scientifically connect those disruptive emotions to a rational reason. So if all these countless millions of people that were suffering from free-floating anxiety, free-floating depression, free-floating rage and anger, if they had a problem or a crisis in their life which was energizing or driving the free-floating anxiety, the free-floating depression, the free-floating rage and anger, then the psychological diagnostic problem would be solved. he or she has depression because their wife or husband died and they were in the prime of their lives, and now he or she is all by themselves. Okay, well, obviously, he or she, they don't have free floating depression or anxiety. The depression and anxiety they're experiencing is directly connected to a real event. And in this case, that real event is the abrupt death of their husband or wives. So it's not free-floating. There's a reason for it, a rational reason for it. Now you have countless millions of people who are volcanic with their rage and anger. And you've probably noticed this. I notice it, I think, I'm not sure, more than most of you, because I live in a city, LA, Los Angeles. But the same would be true if you lived in any big city or any big town. I don't know how it works in a small town because I'm not in a small town. Maybe it works the same. But I've noticed in the last 10 years that two things are playing out before me. One is there's a vast increase in the exterior, compliant, sheep-like nature of people. They're far more compliant. They're far more passive. They act far more like sheep. They don't speak up. They don't rock the boat. They don't complain that their hamburger that they just ordered at the fast food restaurant is frozen like a block of ice. But they don't complain because they don't want to be perceived as, you know, being complainers or troublemakers. Well, you and I both know they have a problem. You should complain if your hamburger is frozen solid like a block of ice. You should have it cooked. That's a reasonable expectation, wouldn't you think? So, this psychologist who wrote the paper on mass formation, his thesis or theory is that when you have these components going viral, I'm not talking about biologically viral, I'm saying when you have these psychological manifestations going viral, and I'm using viral as a as an ideological metaphor for transmitting from one person to another in a society or a social system. He said, you are then in the world and in America, you're reaching the edge of the cliff. And you are reaching society, and America and other nations are now reaching the breaking point. Now, I think I'm communicating, I hope. Tell me if I'm not, and I'll try to rework it. But I think I'm communicating accurately. I think most of the people listening, you're understanding what I'm trying to say. We're reaching the breaking point. Not only that, according to this guy's scientific studies, which I didn't decide to believe because I had nothing better to do. I believed his psychological theory, mass formation, because I believe it's largely true. It confirms my own years of psychological research and researching on mass social engineering, mass brainwashing, etc. I used to get the question all the time when I was starting out in this career. What career is it? I really don't know a good name for my career, which becomes problematic. What do you write down on your job resume? Not that I'm looking for a job, but what would I write down on my job resume? And anything that remotely fits, if I wrote it down, I guarantee you I wouldn't get a job. Because what I do for a living, or should I say what I do for a calling, is totally out of the box. And many of you know what I'm talking about. When you choose to live totally out of the box, you're not following the herd. And it's like when I was a kid, people would call, my friends would climb up these really tall trees, which I would never do because I was terrified of heights. And one time, you know, the old joke was that if you climbed up a really tall tree and then climbed out on one of its branches, and then, of course, if you took a saw and sewed the branch off where you were sitting, you're going to go crashing down, you know, and get hurt. Well, the field that I have chosen, the calling I have chosen, is really the equivalent of climbing up a tall tree, climbing out on a long extended branch, and then sawing the branch off behind you. Once you're out there, and I'll tell you how this worked, because it wasn't always this way. I said, I'd say I had about 25 years of relatively smooth sailing. But when I began to have an epiphany that what I was doing for a living was like climbing out on a branch and then sawing off the branch with no way back, when that began to materialize as a reality before my eyes was when the internet and social media and internet platforms and Google and the whole internet algorithm, computer, social media system began to emerge. Well, you can guess what happened. I no longer had the privilege of hiding in obscurity. Not that I was trying to hide. I really wasn't trying to hide. I was trying to get my ideas and beliefs promoted because my ultimate calling was to evangelize, to reach people for Jesus Christ, to communicate a biblical worldview. So I wasn't trying to hide that. In fact, the opposite was true. I was trying to communicate to as many people as possible. Because one of my callings is to be an evangelist. But you know, when I was much younger and first entered the ministry, the entire culture was different. I mean, people could actually call themselves evangelists, or, you know, I still use the term Paul McGuire Ministries, and just tough, that's what it is, okay? But those words have become very archaic and misunderstood words in our culture. So, where I'm going with this is the complexity of our culture morphed. It changed dramatically with the internet and social media. And so now, whatever I say, even if I think it's private, it's being picked up on, I don't know what, we have 24 different social media platforms. It's being picked up on podcasting platforms. The enemies of conservatism are literally recording my appearances on television, and whatever I say, they very cutely and cleverly edit, and they use all their skills to edit what I say on national television, but they edit it so they distort what I actually said, so I sound like semi crazy or angry or whatever. So nobody's getting, a lot of people are not getting a clean, objective view about what I'm saying. They're getting a distorted view that's been manipulated by, what was the news article the other day? George Soros spent at least, this is the minimal figure, he spent at least $80 million financing radical hit squads for the left that targeted conservative people and evangelical Christians, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got armies of hit squads putting you up on the internet on their own channels for fundraising by distorting and mutilating what you're saying. So everything's changed. Now, where I'm going with this is that in the old days, people had anxiety for a reason. People had depression for a reason. People had rage and anger for a reason. Now it's free-floating. And this psychologist said the reason it's free-floating primarily is because, and this guy wasn't a Christian, the breakdown in the nuclear family, the breakdown of close, trusting relationships, the breakdown in the sense of community, the breakdown in the sense of belonging, all the things, all the ingredients that our culture used to have, because it was based on a Judeo-Christian foundation, has been violently, psychologically assaulted and undermined, so that you are portrayed as a sociopath or a psychopath if you're a Christian. So that was done intentionally. Then you had the Frankfurt Marxists turn the family and everything upside down. And so now you have, they have a burned earth, scorched earth policy. We as Christians don't have a scorched earth policy. We have a bring in the last day's harvest policy for Jesus. Jesus said to us, the fields are ripe for harvest. That means we can win millions of people to Jesus Christ because the fields are ripe with harvest. But because the enemies of the gospel have become so antagonistic, they have, I believe, strategically burned down the fields that are ripe for harvest. And that leaves us with a scorched earth policy. They've scorched the earth, making it very difficult to win souls for Jesus Christ. But you see, I don't allow what the enemy has done or has not done. I don't allow what the enemies of the gospel have done or not done to determine what I am going to do in the power of the Holy Spirit in terms of obeying Jesus Christ and fulfilling my divine callings, like preaching the gospel, winning souls to Jesus Christ, effectively communicating a biblical worldview, etc., and occupying until he comes. I will not allow the enemies of the gospel to define who I am, nor will I allow them to define or try to shape or interfere with what God has called me to do. And you should be of the same mindset. So this psychologist essentially said, because of the, it was almost like he was a Christian, because he said what Christians used to say, they don't say it anymore. Too many of them are hiding. But this psychologist basically said, because of the fragmentation and the destruction of our culture, we have psychologically destroyed hundreds of millions of people in America and around the world. And the result is we have crippled people psychologically, and they were once functioning on a normal level, but now they're suffering from free-floating anxiety, free-floating depression, and free-floating rage and anger. And that is causing social disintegration. And then this secular psychologist said, if it continues, and right now he said there's no signs of this thing slowing down or stopping. So the psychologist said, if it continues, where our society will go very quickly in an accelerated form, our society will attach itself to a larger-than-life totalitarian figure or a larger-than-life dictatorship figure and bond with the dictator, like Adolf Hitler. And then this is how real evil begins to erupt. The because this is what happened in communist Russia, communist China, and in Adolf Hitler's Nazi Germany. He said, when the people's social structure, family, is destroyed, then the people will bond themselves to an illusory dictatorship figure with a charismatic personality. He said they'll almost worship him like God. And then he said, as the masses of people have their most intimate social structures shattered, they will begin to develop an illusion of a social structure by bonding to dictators. And in that bonding to dictators, they will form artificial intimacy, artificial relationships, artificial family, artificial community, mythological and artificial belief systems. And so he said, now he didn't use these words because he's not a Christian. Essentially what he was saying is a spiritual deception will descend upon the people, and in their mass deception, they will be capable of a holocaust, of killing millions and doing very, very evil things. And this stuff is starting to surface in our world and society right now. This is purely from science, not Christians. So, what is our responsibility as so-called Bible-believing Christians? In light of this train that's coming down the track, what is our responsibility and obligation before God? Well, it's obvious. All Christian schools, all Christian pastors, all Christian seminaries, all Christian ministries, churches, they should all immediately be up to speed and understand the dynamics that I just explained to you, and understand the dynamics that are unfolding in an accelerated manner right before us. This is what's happening right before us. And it will lead to, according to the psychologist, but I agree with him, it will lead to the masses of people substituting their bonding no longer with family and church and friends and positive relationships. Now they're going to bond to dictators and dictatorial governments. And because that is a relationship based on illusions, it also leads to bonding, believing, and accepting a whole series of occultic, magical beliefs that are really not real, but they provide a counterfeit sense or an artificial sense of bonding, family, community. It gives people an artificial sense of, hey, I'm not alone. It's an artificial sense of oneness. It's like if you're a big sports fan, and I'm not knocking you if you're a sports fan, so don't worry about it. But if you're a big football, basketball, or what, baseball, whatever your sport is, fan, when you're in a stadium watching your team play, you don't know everybody that's in the stadium. The only thing you know is that they're rooting for the same team you are. So for decades, psychologists have pointed out that that dynamic provides an artificial bonding. It removes loneliness and provides an artificial sense of oneness. So the thing with the dictatorship is similar but different to the bonding with a sports team. Okay, we're going to be back in a moment. You're listening to the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. That's paulmcguire.us. Right now, our society is in a free fall. And that means it's like a satellite that has lost its momentum in orbit, and it's spiraling down to the Earth, and it's going to crash, and the impact is going to cause a certain amount of catastrophe. So, as Christians, we have a choice. As I said the other day, we are the only people group on Earth. We are the only people on Earth. The only people on Earth. There is no other people group on Earth that can do what we can do. And we have been given the supernatural authority in Jesus' name, and we have been given the supernatural power in Jesus' name to take authority over mass formation, the spirits behind dictatorships, the principalities and powers, the rage, the anger, and all the demonic insanity that is like a pot boiling over in our society. We are the only people on planet Earth, assuming that we're truly born again and that we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Once we know that assumption is a certainty, we are the only people on planet Earth that have the spiritual authority to bind the powers of darkness, to bind Satan, to bind the fallen angels, and to stop and block the invasion of hell against our nation. Because right now, you know, what I would really like to do, if I could, is I would like to reach through to you during this podcast or a future video production. I'd like to reach through the screen. I'd like to reach through the technology and just gently touch your eyes, not your naked eyes, but your eyelids. Just gently touch them. And then I'd like to ask God to supernaturally restore your vision and your eyesight as he did to the Church of Laodicea. Why, you say? Because unless the authentic, born-again, biblical Church of Jesus Christ in America and across the world regains its spiritual vision, we are going to perish. That's what history teaches us. We're going to perish. So we're in a very dangerous crisis. Now, if your method of determining whether or not we're in a place of a very dangerous crisis is based on counting the number of people you know personally, or counting the number of people you know in the media, or counting the number of pastors you know, or whatever system of counting you use, if your system of determining whether or not we're in great danger is based on a numerical count of how many pastors and media people agree with what I'm saying to you, or whether or not your numerical count gives you a total of a larger number of people who would disagree with my assessment. If that's how you measure and determine your outcome, that is a faulty measuring system, and it's going to lead you astray. That is not an analytical tool that is reliable. What you're using to determine whether what I'm saying or not is the truth, the methodology that you're using is the equivalent of tossing a coin and guessing heads or tails. It's not accurate. And if that's the kind of methodology you're using, we're all going to perish, because you're looking through the wrong window of perception to make a all-important decision. Okay, this is the Paul McGuire Report. I'm Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us. We'll be back in a moment. By the way, if you happen to live anywhere near or in the Ukraine or that area of Russia or you're involved in the conflict or on the edges of the conflict at all, we want to pray for you. If you want to drop me a note, make it short, we'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. Because we believe that prayer works. And if we come boldly to the throne of grace and ask God for help through the blood of Jesus, he will divinely answer prayer in terms of protection, provision, deliverance, like getting you out of there. Now, that doesn't mean you like shut your brain off and don't take care of the practical things and the physical things. It always comes down to doing both. You have to do everything you can do in the practical, physical, reality dimension, but then you have to do everything you're supposed to do spiritually by asking God to supernaturally intervene miraculously through prayer. Because sometimes, well, not sometimes, lots of times in life, our back is up against the wall. There's no way out. Every single one of you listening to me on the Paul McGuire Report, you have faced that situation, or you will face. I have faced that situation countless times. And you know, that's how I know how to walk by faith. It wasn't easy. You know, I didn't raise my hand. But the reason I can walk by faith today and teach others how to walk by faith is God allowed me over my lifetime to go through an entire series and succession of places where there was no human way out. There was no plan I could formulate. I didn't have the resources. For whatever the reasons, I was like a prisoner. And so I learned in that place, in the pit of captivity, it was deep down under that I learned when all the props are removed from you and you end up, God puts you in a position where you are actually forced to depend upon him. You're forced to pray. You're forced to use your faith. And in that crucible, you end up learning that, yeah, God does answer prayer. And you can pray. And you can see God move miraculously to help you, your family, and your loved ones. And it's a painful education, but what you come out of it with is that God is reliable, God is faithful. So we want to pray for you here on the Paul McGuire Report. Okay, another thing I want to talk about is that Christians in America and across the world are operating on a level way beneath the level that God has planned for them. And so, because God's people are not operating on the level, the highest level that they should be operating on, they're losing lots of spiritual battles. The evil one, the fallen angels, Satan, and the principalities and powers, there's nobody to restrain them. There's nobody to block them. And so Satan's armies are running amok throughout the earth and throughout the land, whatever land you live in. Now, this is not what God wants. But when you have a famine, which we do have, for the word of God in the land, you know, mass starvation for the word of God, because there are not enough preachers and churches and Christian ministries, etc., Bible teachers. There are not enough of them. There are a sizable percentage, thank God, but there are not enough of them to feed God's people with the living truth they need to be overcomers and to be victorious. It is not the will of God. So, for example, America was called before the foundation of the world to be used in the last days, to bring in the last day's soul harvest. America was destined and called to communicate and teach a biblical worldview, which means to make disciples of all nations. And the reason America was called was not because we're better than anybody else. The opposite could be true. We could actually be worse than anybody else. And don't be surprised, because God operates on the basis of grace, unmerited favor, and repentance. But whatever the case is, God has a divine call on America because we have a unique constitution, a unique Bill of Rights, a unique government that was all constructed by the strong Bible-believing Pilgrims and Puritans. That provided the foundation for us to spread Christian liberty and Christian freedoms and Christian prosperity throughout the entire earth. Now, we messed up big time. Those of you that are looking upon America are probably scratching your heads and saying, well, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. America, like ancient Israel, like Christians in the past, America began to worship idols and false gods instead of the true God. America began to disobey and break the laws of God. America began to reject God's word. And America began to stop pursuing God and started to disobey God and getting involved in all kinds of sin and the worship of false gods. And that was the beginning of the unwinding of the American dream. Now, I believe any nation you live in, any individual that you are, that is not a no-way street. If you repent, if you turn around, if you begin to cry out to God, stop worshiping idols, and seek his face, you can ask God to forgive you, intercede for your nation, and cry out to God to pour out his Holy Spirit in restoration. That's what God wants to do. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming back in the relatively near future. That means, quite simply, we're in the last days, and we are approaching the time, prophetically, when Jesus Christ is going to return along with the armies of heaven at the second coming of Jesus Christ. That means Jesus will descend from the skies, riding a white horse along with the armies of heaven, and then he will descend on the Valley of Megiddo, where the final war will take place, Armageddon. And Jesus Christ and the armies of heaven will overwhelm. They will use overwhelming heavenly force. Christians in America have forgotten that they have access to overwhelming spiritual force. Jesus Christ will descend from heaven with overwhelming spiritual force, and he will defeat the Antichrist, the false prophet, all those who receive the mark of the beast, and the armies of fallen angels and demons and principalities and powers. And then when all the nations that are following Satan are so spiritually deceived that they begin to attack Jesus and fire nuclear missiles at Jesus as he's coming down in the second coming, God's going to wipe all that out with enormous power, and then Jesus is going to set up the capital of planet Earth in Jerusalem. And this is happening. I can't tell you exactly when it's going to happen, but it is going to happen within the relatively near future, and I don't have a date for you. That's an honest answer. Okay, so where we are now is we're in a materialistic battle. The people in the Ukraine and Russia and stuff, they're fighting a real physical war. But in addition to the physical war, in every nation on planet Earth, especially America, but also Russia and China and NATO and the European Union, there is, in addition to a physical war raging, there is a psychological war raging. And there is also a high-level spiritual war raging. And these areas The militaries of the world call this full spectrum dominance. The idea is that a powerful nation like the United States or other nations has the capacity to dominate or control every spectrum, every sphere of military battle. So when a military engages in full spectrum dominance, that means it's utilizing every spectrum of its military force to dominate and win victory over the powers of the enemy. And that's something that nations aspire to. And God's people, by the way, in terms of an analogy, it's not the, if God's people are right with God, it is not the will of God for God's people to go into captivity, to be slaughtered, and to be destroyed by the adversary. It is God's will that if God's people are right with him, that God's people are victorious. Okay, so the battle that we're facing is a multidimensional battle. So what that means in our world is we have powerful dynamics at work. Let's call them controlled dynamics. So in our world today, two of the most powerful controlled dynamics would be called globalism and corporatism. Globalism refers to the enormous power in terms of artificial intelligence, computers, finances, of globalism, and the work of conquest being done by people like Carl Schwab and the World Economic Forum. So in addition to globalism, we have corporatism, and that simply means that the people who control globalism own all the money and the assets and all the multinational corporations. And as we've discussed on other Paul McGuire report shows, just two super powerful corporations control all the corporations in the world. They control all the money and the wealth in the world. And their names are BlackRock and Vanguard. So that control dynamic or corporatism at the top of the pyramid of control is BlackRock and Vanguard. Now, the other thing that's in the mix, and it's been in the mix since ancient Babylon and the empire of ancient Egypt, it's not new. And that's what we call occult power or satanic power or fallen angel power or demonic power. So in addition to the dynamic of globalism and corporatism, we have the dynamic of occult power, occult ideologies. And what you have to know, and what Christians have to know, is that it's time in history, God is calling his people to significantly step up their game. Right now, with notable exceptions, for the most part, God's people are in the equivalent of first grade or kindergarten in their understanding of the areas of power, like globalism and corporatism and occult power. That's not the will of God. It's not hard work. It doesn't take long. It takes a willingness, a simple willingness to learn. And if you will step forward and exhibit willingness before God, because God is the one that gives knowledge and wisdom and guidance. So you ask God for it, and then you study to receive it. And in a relatively short period of time, God's people can control the spheres of power that the demonic realm previously controlled. So the way we step things up if you're relying on the social engineering of public education and private education, and tragically, most of biblical education with some exceptions, if you're relying on those areas to get you up to speed, you're going to lose. You're going to crash and burn. We'll lose the spiritual battle. You know, the prophet Daniel had to step it up significantly in order for his mission to be accomplished when he was supernaturally guiding the king of Babylon. In order to accomplish his mission, though, the prophet Daniel had to step it up. It talks about how he had to change his diet, how he had to study and learn. The prophet Daniel didn't stay in the status quo zone. Got it? Okay. Joseph had to significantly step it up in order for him to fulfill his divine calling of being the right-hand man to Pharaoh, to riding in the chariot of Pharaoh, to being given the signet ring of authority of Pharaoh. And God raised up Joseph to be as powerful as Pharaoh, and Joseph significantly expanded the ancient Egyptian empire in its time of crisis with drought and a lack of grain and water. But the prerequisite, and this is the message you got to listen to and the message you got to hear and the message you got to act on, and you can do all these things. Don't say in your heart, I can't do it, it's too hard. Because if you say that in your heart, then you're going to bring it about. You can step it up. So what I'm telling you, out of love, think of me like as your coach. Step it up. Step your game up in every sphere. And that means you have, if you're relying on the idiot, idiot's a good word for it, idiot economic classes of your college years or whatever to understand economics, that's not stepping it up. That's stepping it down. You have to step it up and understand things like this, that occult power or occult ideology is the undergirding foundation and energizing force behind what we call democracies. And the way the occult-based energizing force plays out is it moves through Freemasonic and Illuminati revolutions. That's right. You got to get rid of this, I'm as ignorant as a fool, and I'm proud of it, evangelical Christian mindset, where ignorant Christians sneer at everything they don't understand and call it a conspiracy theory. You got to step it up and know the truth. So when you step it up, you understand that underneath the monetary system, there is the power of the Illuminati and the Freemasons. And this caused, economically, the exponential rise of the international banking houses or banks. And this satanic energy, that's right, it's satanic energy, not just human energy. This satanic energy also caused the usury laws to be abolished, which allowed for, via satanic energy, the rise of merchant classes over the aristocracy. Well, what does that mean? It means that the international banking families and the people that own the international banking families and the financial companies, people like Rothschild and Rockefeller, and we could go down a long list of banking family names, these people caused the expansion of Rothschild, Rockefeller owned central banks all over the world, including the United States. The United States, our money system, our banking system, was once owned and controlled by we the people. But via a subversive strike, the international banking families created the Federal Reserve System, which allows them to print money from nothing. And when they print money from nothing, of course, they're infinitely rich. And they also have the power that they gave themselves to loan money for excessive interest. Now, this gave them so much power, especially after, you know, Americans are under a delusion. Americans think we won the Revolutionary War with Britain. You better rethink your position in light of factual history. The banking families, who also own the corporations and the merchant system, they began to rule. The rise of the merchant classes, the corporations, the rise of the merchant classes, they rose in power over the aristocracy. Who are the aristocracy? The kings and queens and the genetic descendants of the kings and queens who previously owned everything. The king was supreme, the queen was supreme. They owned all the money and power and military in a nation. But with the rise of the merchant classes have now merged with the aristocracy. So we had the French Revolution and the American Revolution. And during what was called, essentially the French, who were financed by the Illuminati, launched the esoteric and occultic thought and ideas under what was called the French Enlightenment. And that inspired the French philosophers as well as the intellectuals. They were inspired. See, this is where you have to step it up. If you're still thinking in the grid of what they teach people at Yale and MIT and stuff, you know, they say they're the Ivy League schools, but they're still thinking in the grid of pre-French Revolution thinking. The Enlightenment inspired the intellectuals, the philosophers, and even the scientists to accept and develop occult-based pseudoscientific concepts such as Darwinism, Newtonian, atomism. And when you put together those things, it creates essentially a worthless material. Now, this is not hard to grasp, so don't zone out on me. Don't tune out on me because we hit a half-inch speed bump in the road. Stick with me. Knowledge is power. Okay, so Darwinianism, which is the idea that man came from nothing, okay, and is nothing, and there is no God. So you devalue man. When you devalue man in Darwinian evolution, you conquer man. And then Isaac Newton came up with the concept of Newtonian atomism. And this is the idea that when you put all this together, the atoms of the universe, etc., you end up with a worthless base material. Now, here's the kicker where you get the opportunity to step it up. This worthless material, when you connect the reality of alchemical magicians, and you connect the reality of the alchemical process, which is sometimes called by Americans erroneously magic. Magic And here is where you're going to find out that the emperor has no clothes. Magic is not what you think it is. The scientific method is in reality magic. It's alchemical magic. Why is it alchemical magic? Because the alchemical magicians, the alchemical philosophers, going back before the Revolutionary War, they boasted that they could take worthless materials, worthless metals, and by utilizing an alchemical magical process, they could convert useless materials into pure gold, which was worth a fortune. So the basis of alchemical magic is you take something that is absolutely worthless, and by using alchemical magic and the alchemical process, you transform it into something of incredible value, like gold. This applies to evolution. Evolution is a deception. It's a hype. Magic is based on illusion. Magic is based on deception. You educate, quote, indoctrinate the masses into believing that they came from nothing, that they're here by evolutionary accident. How that equation translates is you're basically devaluing men and women as individuals created by God, and you are reversing their value into nothing. Because people who are here by accident and are not created by God, but by random chance, are worthless. They have no value. Therefore, they deserve to be conquered. Now, the scientific method that people boast of, notice that some of the biggest proponents of the scientific method secretly did not use the scientific method, violated the scientific method, and used instead alchemical magic. So we have Sir Francis Bacon, who is the father of empirical science and the scientific method, but secretly he was an alchemical magician, and he was receiving supernatural guidance from fallen angels and demonic powers that were instructing him in matters of science and in matters of conquering America, to transform America from a worthless nation into the head of the New World Order. But he didn't do it through the scientific method. He did it through alchemical magic. And he and Sir Francis Bacon and Sir John Dee, both of them, developed the ability of communicating with fallen angels or Enochian angels. And that allowed them to supernaturally communicate with fallen angels as they did in the Old Testament, as they did when the fallen angels descended upon Mount Hermon. Okay, so again, step it up. Quit falling back to the shock therapy modality of socially engineered, dumbed-down education. You're going back to that because it's a habit. You've been programmed to rely on that as being measurable wisdom. It's not measurable wisdom. It's a total illusion. It's worthless. So step it up. How do you step it up? You increase your perception, your awareness, and your knowledge base. It's really easy. Really easy. There's not a single person listening to me that God has not given the God-given genetics and the God-given DNA that will already enable you to step it up. He's already downloaded you with the ability to step it up. So, what else do we learn? Communism, Marxism, socialism, and even Hitler's fascism, and even what we call liberal capitalist democracy, are all worthless, valueless systems that don't bring about a worker's paradise. They bring about a dictatorship, poverty, and slavery of unspeakable horror. But because the people who follow those so-called revolutionary movements are blinded by alchemical magic, and they're in a trance state, we explain why, psychologically, mass formation, they have become the cult followers. Because communism, fascism, liberal capitalist democracy, and socialism, they are a cult, and they have the cult leaders. Christians haven't figured that out yet. Christians think in their hearts falsely, as a man thinketh, so is he. Christians think falsely that they are inferior, that they are less qualified, that their God, Jesus, is somehow impotent. Well, I hate to break it to you, Jesus is not impotent, and we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Stop allowing yourself to be victimized by modern-day sorcery. Remember, all mind control flows from ancient sorcery and alchemical magic. So, when we get into the think tanks, which are really the temples of the pagan gods in our modern society, think of think tanks like the RAND Corporation, MIT, Stanford Research Institute, the Tavistock Institute, and all the rest of the think tanks. Quit being mystified by them. That's magic. Quit being put under a spell by them. And understand that they're hypnotizing you. And understand that they are teaching people methodologies of illusion, like quantification, which is a way of seeing people as non-human, but seeing people as bots, cubes, game theory. And they turn people from divine human beings created in the image of God. These think tanks transform them into the neo-slavery system of the coming transhumanist global dictatorship. Transhumanism is both technological in nature, but it is also occultic. And it's about merging things and transcending things, alchemical magic, into a new age. New age mysticism versus biblical truth. So, you also have to understand that whenever you see a communist movement like Russian ideology or Chinese communist ideology, what these are, or socialist, secular, humanist ideology in America, what these really are evolutionary, alchemical, transcendental movements. And they give birth because they are artificial, because in reality, they're based on bot thinking. They produce after their own kind. They produced non-humans, genetically modified non-humans, and they're out to take over the world. And the game, when you strip it down and expose it to the light, the game is the Great Reset, a one-world government, a one-world religion, and a one-world economic system. And they're doing that by transforming DNA and turning people from human to non-human, thus stripping them of their value. Because you see, an authentic human being created in the image of God has infinite value. A counterfeit human being with artificial DNA has no value. It's worthless. okay, where do we go from here? Well, where we go from here is we have to understand that the spiritual battle we are now involved in, which involves the command of God to bring in billions of souls into the kingdom of heaven. That's our assignment, to ignite a biblical third great awakening, to collectively receive authentic biblical dunamis or power from on high. This is what God has commanded us to do, because the real God is eternal. The real God is not artificial intelligence. The real God is not AI. He's final reality. So the world that you live in, understand this, and we're going to close. The world that you live in is ruled by the temporary God of this world, who is Satan. The temporary God of this world creates this world out of lies. Why? Because Satan is the father of lies. He creates the world out of spiritual deception. That's what he did to Adam and Eve. And this is all based on occultic power and then using both psychological warfare and spiritual warfare. And then you weaponize illusions, hypnosis, trace-like rites of passage in a occultic propaganda psyop campaign. And the goal is to create, to be blunt, a new world order under Satan. But God wants to put the brakes on that right now. Time is not ripe for that. God's people are supposed to be rising under the dunamis power of God. God's people are supposed to be being empowered and increasing in power by embedding true truth, final reality, and knowledge which embeds power into their human souls. You and I and our children and grandchildren and Christian education and Christian schools, at this point in time, we are supposed to be riding the inertia of a biblical revival. At this point in time, we should not be afraid of what's happening in Europe. Now, listen to me carefully. What's happening in Europe is real. It is a horrific tragedy when people die innocently and their blood is spilled. But let us remember who we are in the core of our identity. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. We are called to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. We have been destined by Jesus Christ to rule and reign with him for all eternity. The modality by which we are going to rule and reign with Christ for all eternity is we are seated in heavenly places or heavenly thrones with Christ Jesus. Now, we lost that ability temporarily to rule and reign and exercise dominion when we rejected the Word of God and believed Satan or Lucifer. Here we are on the fast track to the end of the age. Don't believe the lie that's being repeated in the Christian culture. Many of you are not thinking biblically. You're not reading the Bible. You're not praying about what you're receiving into your human spirit. You're believing a last day scenario that doesn't come out of the Bible, but it comes out of the faulty imaginations of men and women. We are the children of Almighty God, just what like Joshua and Caleb, just like David. We are not supposed to be fearful. Why? Because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. At this point in time, we are supposed to be rising in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we are supposed to be actively utilizing the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. As such, we have been given the dunamis power to drive the demonic powers from our land and every land on planet Earth. Why? Because the only person that knows the time of the Lord's return is God the Father. But right now, there are a significant number of things that have not happened yet, which are indicated in the book of Revelation and other prophetic passages as having to have had happened, bad English, sorry, in order for Christ to return. In other words, for example, the actual, not something reminiscent, but the actual mark of the beast. So, what am I trying to say? Let us synchronize our prophetic time clocks to the Lord's prophetic time clock. Let's not prematurely say this is the end when it's not yet the end. We may be closing in on the end, but it's not the end yet. And so if it's not the end, what is it? It's in some interim time period where we're supposed to occupy until I come. But if we're misreading our clocks, digital or otherwise, we're going to screw the whole thing up. We're going to run for panic. We're going to be filled with fear. We'll end up going into captivity and slavery, and the enemy will have a heyday with us. So what's the answer? Recalibration. The answer is recalibration to make sure our prophetic clocks are in synchronization with God's prophetic clock. And then as we synchronize with God, then and only then can we be agents of fulfilling God's destiny on earth. And that's his divine plan for you, me, and every one of his children. But it isn't going to happen until we move in synchronization with one of God's primary principles revealed in the book of Acts. When they came together as one, then they were clothed with power from on high. Let's take the land. Let's do it. This is Paul McGuire. Visit paulmcguire.us.